So one of the very first things that we do is what's called a CEO schedule. And we help business owners to actually understand where does the CEO of a small business need to spend their time. And in doing so, we help them also to understand how to delegate, how to outsource, how to hire, how to build a winning team, to elevate from overworked, you know, entrepreneur that's burnt out and exhausted into a seven-figure CEO. It really starts with understanding how to manage your time, how to utilize the calendar effectively, and how to know what the difference between busy versus productive is. Specifically, what are the profit-producing activities that are going to move the needle in your business?
The following is brought to you by Thrive, the end-to-end client experience platform that helps you get the job, manage the job, and get credit.
Hey, hey, this is Gordon Henry at Winning on Main Street, and this week you get to meet Kelly Roach. Kelly is the CEO of Kelly Roach Coaching. She was a leader at a Fortune 500 company in the recruiting space, then moved to small business coaching. She runs a incubator called The Unstoppable Entrepreneur. She's now a regular business expert on ABC, NBC, Fox, CW, all over TV. And so many business coaches out there offer, you know, hopes and glamour about what it means to be an entrepreneur. But what I think is really interesting about Kelly is she tells you kind of what it's really like. She's honest, she's direct, she doesn't shy away from truth telling. And her program is really there to help support small business owners and wannabe small business owners, future entrepreneurs, telling them how to build their future business empire, go from starting out small to growing, you know, a bigger company. So excited to get into it. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, great to have you here. So let's just pick up on that last point. You know, we hear about so many different business coaches out there that they're kind of a dime a dozen, right? But you're different, right? You've had tremendous success. What sets you apart?
Yeah, the number one thing that sets apart everything that we do at Kelly Roach Coaching is that the foundation of what we teach is timeless business practice and principle. It was founded in, you know, almost a decade of my work in corporate America, which allowed me to actually go from doing one turnaround location to ultimately managing 17 and building a team of 100 individuals. So really testing and replicating and scaling the strategic principles that I teach. And then using them, you know, obviously with my own company and others big and small. The vast majority of everything that's taught in the entrepreneurial space is extremely tactical. It's extremely surface level. It's how to get a client, how to, you know, point and dance around on Instagram, how to, you know, create a headline that people are going to click on. And there's a lot of confusion around what it actually means to build a company, the systems, the infrastructure, the people, the leadership, all of the elements of what an organization that stands the test of time is built on. And so we are really, I always say, we're the company for business athletes. We're the company for individuals that actually want to build a profitable, sustainable company and want to do it from the ground up the right way the first time.
Yeah, that's great. You talk about one of your taglines, I guess. You talk about going from overworked business owner to seven-figure CEO. That sounds pretty aspirational. How does that happen? And what do you think holds people back? How do you unlock their potential?
Yeah, the number one thing that holds people back is they spend all of their time working on unproductive things that don't impact the business, right? So when people come into my business incubators, they always ask me how many more hours a week they're going to have to work. And I always tell them none. And the reason why is not that I'm saying it's going to be easy to scale their business. It's because I know they're spending countless hours working on things that don't matter. So one of the very first things that we do is what's called a CEO schedule. And we help business owners to actually understand where does the CEO of a small business need to spend their time? And in doing so, we help them also to understand how to delegate, how to outsource, how to hire, how to build a winning team, how to understand the areas of the business where they're spending their time and actually they're devaluing their time by doing $10 an hour tasks when they need to be doing $10,000 an hour tasks, right? So to elevate from overworked, you know, entrepreneur that's burnt out and exhausted into a seven-figure CEO, it really starts with understanding how to manage your time, how to utilize the calendar effectively, and how to know what the difference between busy versus productive is. Specifically, what are the profit-producing activities that are going to move the needle in your business?
Yeah, absolutely. You haven't said the word technology yet. And I was wondering, in this part of the discussion around how do I leverage my time, become, as you said, productive, not busy, where does technology fit in? You know, our parent company, Thrive, has a CRM for small businesses, and whether it's Thrive or some other tool, there's a lot of tools out there that can help you automate some of these tasks. Is that something you recommend?
Absolutely. I mean, technology is meant to accelerate, amplify, and up-level impact of what you do. And, you know, I know that's exactly what you guys do at Thrive, right? But the problem is I found a lot of entrepreneurs confuse leveraging technology for acceleration with replacing the core functions that they need to do in the business. And so it ends up that they're kind of like abusing technology and then not getting the result, and then they're blaming the technology, right? So to me, when I think about technology, I think about technology and us coming together and working as a team. And we certainly leverage technology. I mean, we're a completely virtual company. We have no physical office. We never have. We've been totally online since the inception of the organization. So tech is a huge part of what we do. But I'm always very careful with that, because I think people think, you know, that they can use technology to replace doing the right thing in the business, and then they're disappointed. And what I like to say about tech is meant to amplify, accelerate, and up-level impact. And you have to get to know your tech. You have to invest in your tech, because the tech is only as good as what you give to the tech. It spits out what you put into it, right? So I'm sure you go through this with your customers all the time. It's like you have to leverage it correctly to get the intended consequence, right?
Are there certain types of businesses you do or don't cater to? Do I have to be in a certain, you know, vertical or category to work with you, or do you take on any kind of business?
We specifically work with service-based businesses that are in the $1 to $10 million range. So we are really focused on individuals that create a result or a transformation of some kind. So we have everything from medical practitioners, lawyers, doctors, accounting firms, advertising agencies, social media firms, you know, any type of coach, consultant, speaker, et cetera. What we don't do is we don't do low ticket products. Like we're not we don't specialize in growing product-based businesses. That's a whole different animal. It requires a completely different strategy.
So we talked a little bit about you at the beginning of the show, but I want to sort of delve into you a little bit. So it's a very unusual thing you do, you know, coaching all types of businesses. You've obviously built a strong organization. What really prepared you for this role? What got you ready for this job?
Well, definitely my time in corporate. You know, people put down their time in corporate all the time. Oh, I hated that job. Oh, I always celebrate it, because I really, well, first of all, I had my first mentor in corporate, and it's really where I learned everything that I know and use every single day about sales, marketing, leadership, team building, P&Ls. I mean, that's where I learned to read a P&L. That's where I learned about building a profitable business. That's why I bring something so different to the online space. Most business coaches, they've never seen a P&L in their life. They have no idea what a budget is. They have no idea how to walk their clients through creating a budget. I was managing teams to a budget since I was 22 years old. So the thing that I bring to this is the financial acumen and the strategy to help people. You know, there's plenty of businesses out there that'll do a $1 million launch and they spend $1,001,000 to run the launch, right? What's the point? You know, what's the point if you make seven figures in revenue if you're not taking any money home, right? So there's so much more to running a company than generating revenue. That's one tiny little element of what makes a business run. So, you know, the thing that prepared me more than anything, of course, was my time in corporate. But even as you mentioned earlier, you know, I was an NFL cheerleader. I was 18 years old. I was the youngest person on the team. I was up at the crack of dawn, 14-hour game days, long practices, 5 hours at a time. The level of responsibility doing speaking appearances and charity events and signing events. I mean, absolutely, that prepared me to be on camera as a teacher, presenting, leading, communicating. So the biggest thing I always say to people is don't discount your past, because every single thing that you do in your career in some way, shape, or form is setting you up for where you're going next. I think most people just they glaze right over that if there isn't a one-to-one match between what they did and what they want to do. And they're missing the fact that, no, it doesn't matter if what you did in the past was different. What matters is, what are the skills, the learnings, and the knowledge that you gain in the past that applies to where you're trying to go in the future? And I'm trying to get that message across to everyone, because I see so many business owners that get hung up on, oh, I'm a new this, and they'll misposition themselves in the market because they just started their business, and yet they have a 25-year career behind them in something wildly successful that they're completely discounting because they just started the business. So, you know, this is an important thing to think about.
Yeah, I love that message. I really do. I have seen that many times. And in my own career, I actually started out my career as a writer, and I ended up doing marketing and product. But learning how to write successfully, succinctly, persuasively, really informs what you do. There's a lot of skills you can pick up, as you're saying, whether it's in school or whether it's in, you know, early in your career, that may inform and help what you do later. It may be not the one-to-one connection. It's not like, well, if I'm going to end up in marketing, I have to study marketing. You know, I mean, all those things help too, but there's a lot of other elements that end up paying off. I think that's a great message. I love what you're saying. We're going to take a very quick break. We're going to be back with Kelly Roach in just a minute, and you can see she's got a lot of great lessons, so stay with us.
This episode of Winning on Main Street is brought to you by Thrive, the end-to-end client experience platform that includes everything small business owners need to meet their customers' expectations. Thrive's award-winning and fully mobile interface delivers technology previously reserved for big business to the fingertips of small business owners nationwide. Thrive's built specifically for small business, but there's nothing small about what it can do. Thrive handles your entire customer experience, helping business owners reach more customers, stay organized, get paid faster, and generate online reviews, all from a single device or screen. To learn more about Thrive, visit winningonmainstreet.com and click on Get a Demo. When it comes to software to run your business, there's no comparison. Check out Thrive today.
And we're back with the, I got to say, amazing Kelly Roach. She's got a ton of energy and a lot of life lessons to share. So this has really been a fun chat. We have a few more minutes to talk to Kelly. You know, I want to talk to you about more generally, like people getting into business. You know, there's so much you hear today about, you know, kids coming out of college and they lack the skills and, you know, sort of getting ready for that next step. And, you know, every college graduation speech in history, they tell the kids, follow your passion, follow your passion. But, you know, I often think, don't you need to be good at it, first of all? I mean, I was passionate about becoming a guard for the Knicks when I was growing up in New York. I wanted to be a basketball player. Unfortunately, I wasn't 6'4". I wasn't that good on, you know, shooter. And so I couldn't become a New York Knicks basketball player. I mean, you have to be good at it. And then somebody has to be willing to pay you for it, right? So how do you advise young people?
Yeah, I mean, I think the other thing is too, listen, I wanted to be a backup dancer for MTV, okay? I was a dancer all growing up. I chose not to follow my passion because when I looked at the lifestyle, I would have been making $16,000 a year, traveling around the country in a van, right? I could, if I wanted to, I could have been a backup dancer for music videos. That was a dream of mine. I chose not to follow that passion because when I looked at, well, what do I want for my life? Right? What do I want my life experience to be? What do I want my financial situation to be? What do I want my family situation to be? So I feel like a lot of well-intended people try to turn their passion into their career. And I think a lot of times it destroys your passion, right? You know, I love dancing. So I taught aerobics after work for fun for many years. And it was very fulfilling for me and I enjoyed it. And I'm certainly glad that I didn't follow my passion because it would have destroyed it when I put that pressure on it to try and make it a career versus just enjoying the thing that I love. So I think that that has to be balanced. I think you have to think of the implication of the decision that you're making and the reality of, do you want to live the life that comes with that dream? I'll give another example. My husband is an amazing musician. Amazing. But the life of a musician on tour is you're sleeping on a mattress in the back of a van, you know, you're barely getting paid, right? If at all, right? You're going from city to city, you're showing up in bars, there might be five people there, right? Was he good enough that he could be on tour like 365 days a year? Yeah, he could. he chose not to pursue that life because when he looked at what came with it, he was like, nah. He has a studio in our house. He has all his guitars. He just produced a new album. He's doing it for the love of doing it. And when he gets a cool placement now and then, he gets a cool placement now and then. But yeah, I think you do have to be a little strategic about that. I don't know that that's the best advice.
So I wanted to ask you a question. I think when you were in corporate America, you had 7 promotions in 8 years. You've obviously launched a terrific business. You were a Philadelphia Eagles cheerleader. I mean, that pretty amazing. A lot of people would like to do that, you know, in front of 60,000 people screaming in the stands. Yeah. Seems like you've led a perfect sort of star-studded life. What failures have you experienced? What has gone wrong that you've had to overcome?
Oh my gosh, everything has gone wrong. It's so funny that you asked that. I literally did a post about this on Facebook yesterday and I said, successful people don't fail less. Successful people recover more quickly from failure. And that has literally been the story of my life. Every single thing that looks like it went well for me, that looks like it's now on paper, like, oh, she's doing this, all of these, I failed at every single one of them. I just kept trying and trying. My husband always says I have that little part of my brain that rejection like doesn't impact me. I just keep going for it and going for it and going for it. I mean, I just don't give up. So, you know, I teach the live launch method. I've helped, I think I taught it to 40,000 people. I've helped millions of people around the globe at this point take this methodology and change their lives. That was born out of me doing launch after launch after launch where I was losing money. I was failing at launching. I just refused to give up. And I finally figured out my own way to make it work. And then I was like, okay, this works for me. I'm going to start teaching it to other people. I think the biggest thing is failure is only final if you allow it to be. You need to take the information from the failing and say, how is this showing me how to redirect? What is the learning and the information that is being presented to me here? And how do I use that to then take the next step? That's the biggest thing I've learned to do in my life is like when I'm failing at something, I really try to step back and try and understand why I am failing so that I can stop doing what is causing failure and take that information and do something else instead. And I think what happens to most people is we get so emotional about the failure that we can't even see straight. We're wrapped up in this idea of failing so much that we can't actually see. No, the failure is actually the catalyst for success because it's how you get the information about what to do different, right?
Yeah. I think it was Thomas Edison who said, I have not failed. I've just found 10,000 ways to do something that didn't work.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. I always tell my team, I'm an absolute expert at failure. Like, I'm really, really good at it, you know? But the thing is, I think that being willing to fail is what opens up the spark of creativity, innovation, disruption. When I first started my business, I tried to do anything I possibly could to avoid failure. And I feel like that slowed the growth of my business. And then when I began to like really figure out who I was and really get certain and confident about like, who is Kelly Roach and like, what is my work in the world? And I stopped caring so much about what other people thought and, you know, is this going to be a public failure and what are people going to think? And I just like started testing things and not putting so much pressure on the outcome. I feel like that's what then really got my business to take off because I wasn't playing in this tiny box anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, Kelly, thanks so much for stopping by. I really appreciate you joining us on this podcast. And before we go, very important, how should people who are listening get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say just message me. You can message me on Instagram. Come say hello. Either myself or someone on the team is always kind of manning that chat. Just drop in, say hey. We'll send you some cool free resources. We'll introduce you to our community. And I would love to hear from you guys.
And the website is
KellyRoachCoaching.com.
KellyRoachCoaching.com.
Yeah. And where I am is 3 times a week, the Kelly Roach Show. So my podcast is really, if you want to learn the methodologies that I teach and kind of how I help people, the Kelly Roach Show is a great place to do that.
Fantastic. Well, great to have you on the show. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
And if you enjoyed this podcast, please tell a friend or colleague to subscribe and please leave us a 5-star review. We'd really appreciate it. Until next time, make it a great week.